We thank the Lord for His goodness and faithfulness to us. I'd like to look at a scripture in the First Peter. It's kind of been impressed upon my mind. First Peter, the 5th chapter. And the 5th verse. It says, "Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, established, strengthen, and settle you. To Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." Let's, thinking about these verses here and some of the different things that it's presenting to our minds. And I want to first note the 8th verse. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil. You know, we have an adversary this morning, and we don't see him with our natural eyes, but we can sure feel his force at times. And Jesus made reference to Satan. He said, "Satan cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy." So Satan is trying to steal from us. He's trying to kill. And ultimately he would like to destroy us. And he has goals. He has plans that way. He has a mind that is bent towards our destruction. And he said, be sober, be vigilant. In other words, be on your guard. Because Satan, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. I wanted to mention a little bit about this word sober. When I looked it up, it means abstain from wine. And I don't think any of us have a battle with wine. But I do believe it has reference for us, because the scriptures bring out that we can be inebriated or intoxicated on things other than wine. The pleasures of this life, the cares of this life. If we get too much overly involved with just the temporal cares of this life, we become intoxicated spiritually. We fail to recognize what God is doing, what He wants to do in our lives. And this scripture, He's encouraging them. And to me, it kind of stood out that He's putting this kind of at the last chapter, towards the end, as a reminder of something important, that we have an adversary And he's exhorting us to be sober. We can't allow things to consume us. We can't allow the cares and responsibilities of life to consume all of our mind, our focus, because then we fail to recognize the enemy and fail to recognize what he's doing. And I also wanted to mention this verse here about, it says, God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. I feel like a big part of our spiritual warfare is being able to humble ourselves, humble our hearts before God in obedience to follow His guidance, His will, His word for us. And it takes humility for us, and I believe that's one of the... He says, God resists the proud, but He gives grace unto the humble. He said, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. You know, the Lord wants to give us victory in due time. Battles are up here and in here. In the mind and the heart. That's where our battles are at. It's in our thoughts. That's where the enemy attacks us. And we know when we read about the temptation of Christ that Satan came to Him not in a physical form, but he put thoughts in His mind. You know, He said, if you be the Son of God, cast yourself down off this temple, so people, well, I'm putting this, my words in here, people be able to see and believe that you're the Son of God. And that was His greatest desire, was for people to believe. That was His, over and over, that was His, He wanted people to believe that He was the Son of God, that He was not here on His own, but that He was in His Father's behalf. He said, the words I speak unto you are my Father's, they're not my words. And He said His Father had sent Him. But Satan presented thoughts to His mind, and that was a temptation to him. And that's where many times the battle rages, is in our mind, our spirit. And I'm going to say, it can get pretty heated. The battle in our minds, in our spirit, we don't really know what's going on and behind the scenes, so to speak, in a person's heart, what they're struggling with, what they're fighting against, what they're battling against. But we want to be reminded this morning that we have a devil that's trying to destroy us. There's a devil that's trying to kill, to steal anything good that we may have. The enemy is trying to steal and take that away from us. And He said, be sober, be vigilant, be on your guard, recognize. I remember one time hearing a testimony, this brother was testifying. It just seems like one thing was happening after another. Things were in disarray. And it was like he said, Lord, in his prayer, he said, help us to see what we're up against. And the Lord gave him a little picture and showed him what they were really, the source of what they were really battling and what they were really fighting. And I believe God can help us in our battles. Now I want to say this, Lord help me, but sometimes we battle, sometimes we try to fight things in our own ability, our own strength, we try to figure things out in our own mind, and we can do that, but My experience is I never got anywhere. My experience is I've fought and fought and fought, and then finally I realized, you know, I've got the Lord to go to. I've got the Lord that I can lean on for help. I've got the Lord I can trust on. I want to get, there's a verse in Isaiah. See if I can find it here. Isaiah 40. Isaiah, let's see here. Isaiah 40 and verse 27. He says, "Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Why sayest thou, O Jacob?" Jacob was a man of God. Jacob represents the people of God. "Why sayest thou, Jacob?" This is what he's... You know, sometimes when the scriptures say, speak, and I don't know if they was verbally speaking this or not, but it's what the Lord was hearing from their hearts. It's what they were saying and feeling down in their heart and spirit, and God hears that. God recognizes that's what we really say is what we're experiencing inside in our heart. And he said, why sayest thou, Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord? It's like God doesn't see. God doesn't care. God doesn't understand. And that's what he's saying here. Why are you saying this? In verse 28, he says, "Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary." And I'm going to say in this battle of life, in the struggles of life, in dealing with life, the youth will faint within their own strength. They don't have it either. But it says, "He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength." And battles are wearisome. Battles are difficult. Battles are hard. They can be tiring. They can wear you out. But if we wait upon God, we look to Him. And I say that, I don't feel like probably I'm the only one. I think maybe you all have been tried to fight battles in your own. We're all kind of human. I don't think I've been the only one that's done it. Sometimes our mind just whirls of what are we going to do? How are we going to figure this out? What's going to happen next? What's in front of us? And we're just spending our strength. But if we'll go to God in humility and wait upon Him. You know that verse we read earlier in Peter, he said, "If you humble yourselves," said, "in due time, that He may exalt you." In due season, just a little ways out, and He's going to give you what you need if we'll wait on Him and strengthen Him. And I know I felt like I can't take another step. Spiritually speaking, it's like I don't have it to go another mile, another step. It's just like, but you know, after waiting and looking to God and trusting in Him, the Lord has a way of infusing in our heart. And He uses so many different avenues to do it. He uses sometimes the Scripture. I don't know how many times I've opened the Scripture with the prayer, saying, Lord, please talk to me. Speak to me through your word. Help me to find what I need. And open my Bible up, and lo and behold, there's something I can grab a hold of. Something I can, that strengthens my inner man, my inner spirit, to be able to continue on and to fight and be. But there's a temptation to fight in our own strength. I wanted to mention this. But the Lord wants to, He wants to help us. He wants to work things out in our lives. And you know what's encouraging in the Old Testament when they went into the land of Canaan? There wasn't a city so strong. There wasn't a mountain so big that they couldn't conquer without God's help and God's blessing. There was nothing there that would destroy them, that would steal from them. There was nothing there. And I believe it's that way today. I believe God has all strength and all power that He can put within us. We don't have it ourselves. But the Lord can give it to us when we open our hearts to Him, when we humble ourselves before Him. I remember, I think I told you the time that it was like I was so confused, and I was living for God. I was so confused in my mind. It was like I was in a maze. And I was just, for weeks and weeks, I don't know how many, maybe months, I didn't really know what to do. I didn't really know how it was going to turn out. I didn't know. I kept going to services. I kept reading. I kept praying. But when I really humbled myself before God and said, okay, Lord, I'm going to obey. I'm going to obey You at any cost, whatever the cost will be. You know, when I said those words, and it was in tears, because my flesh was pulling back. But when I said those words, you know, the confusion that was in my mind, it just dissipated. And it was like I was able to see where to turn, what to do. And you know, the Lord brought me out. And I want to mention this about Satan. When Satan speaks to us, it's without hope. It's to discourage. It's to crush. It's to make us feel like we're worthless. It's to make us feel like we can't overcome. That's the voice of Satan. That's Satan's. That's his words. God doesn't work that way. When the Lord speaks, and He did that in Revelations, there was things in the congregations that the Lord had to correct. There were things that were amiss in their lives and had to correct, but He always gave them hope. He always, if you repent, if you'll turn, it was always with promise of hope, and that He would be there, that He would help. But Satan wants, it's doom and gloom with Satan. And if we feel like this morning that we don't have any hope in our trials and our battle that we're facing, if there's no future, if there's no, that's Satan working in our minds. And sometimes it's so hard. We can be laboring under things that we sometimes don't know the source. But it's Satan. Many times it's Satan. And I've come sometimes, I thought, this is the devil. I've been listening to this for a week now, and it's the devil. Don't you feel a little reproved? And Lord, why didn't I know that sooner? But sometimes we struggle within ourselves to fight our battles. But once we yield ourselves to God, there is a victory. And I wanted to get, there's another scripture, 2 Corinthians, the second chapter. I believe it's the 11th verse. It says, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. This word devices means a plan. It's a scheme. It's something that Satan has thought out against us. It's something that he's attacking us with. But this scripture says, for we are not ignorant of his devices. And the only way we're not is when we're being vigilant and being sober and watching unto prayer. God can help us to recognize our battles, and he can help us to recognize what we're up against, to be able to identify some of the areas we need the Lord's help in. I wanted to mention also 2 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter. Tenth chapter, the 3rd verse. I got that backwards. 2 Corinthians 10 and 3. It says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. That's a pretty close warfare. To bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. In other words, is this these thoughts that came to my mind? And I'm going to say Satan has access to our minds. He brings thoughts to our minds. Just like he did Jesus. That's temptation. That's being tempted. And the enemy would nothing... like nothing more to get us to engage in a carnal battle, a carnal to use fleshly, our tongue, our words, to put people maybe in their place, to try to do it in a carnal way. The devil is wanting to tempt us that way. But he said the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. You know, when they came into the Battle of Jericho, it said the walls were... I've read before, I don't remember, the walls of that city, people lived on the walls of the city. The walls were very thick, very, you know, in the physical sense, it looked like there's no way. You know, if you had battles like that? Said, looks like there's no way. Looks like there's no way to get past this one. But through obeying God, they did what God told them to do. And we find that over and over When they obeyed God, when they obeyed the Lord, and they listened to the Lord, and they humbled themselves and did what God told them to do, they had victory. They would win the battle. And I believe the same way today, when we listen to the Lord and we hear. And it's so important for us to, in this world, to be able to silence our minds, to silence our hearts, and say, Lord, please speak to me, talk to me, help me to see my position. Help me to, you know, the Lord can give us a scripture. He can bring things to our mind. He can give us a song that will enable us to overcome all the power of the enemy. And he talked about bringing mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Sometimes strongholds are in people's minds. Sometimes they're in our minds. Sometimes they're things that we've built up, have allowed to be built up. They're strongholds. But the weapons of God are mighty and powerful to bring down strongholds, casting down imaginations. Another thing the enemy does, I want to, this word imagination is, came to my mind. The enemy likes to blow things up. Poof. Now, I'm not saying that there's not some big things. There are. Especially compared to our humanity. There are some big things that we face in life. But I'm going to say the enemy is a master craftsman at painting such a dark, doom and gloom picture in our imaginations, in our thoughts, that it's a hindrance to us sometimes when we don't recognize what's happening. But he does that. He makes things look so bleak. He makes things look so impregnable that we're not able to be able to overcome. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. You know, when you fought a hard battle through and you've got the victory, you look back. Doesn't look so big then, does it? It's kind of behind you and you're walking free in light and you're rejoicing. You got the, that doesn't look so bad. But coming up to it, sometimes it has a different appearance. So Lord, help us today to recognize that the Word of God is powerful, it's mighty, it can bring down strongholds, and the walls of Jericho were definitely, I would consider, strongholds. It can do that for us in our day and time. Also, it can bring down strongholds. If we'll rely upon it and seek God, He will help us. I wanted to share just a little. I think I may have shared this with you before, but it was when my mother passed away. My son picked me up at the Oklahoma City airport, drove me here. And I didn't make it in time to be able to talk to my mom. She had passed really before I'd got there. But my dad called me on the phone. I was at my grandmother's house. Kent took me by there, and then he went back to Guthrie. My dad called, and I didn't want to talk to him. I was trying to make funeral arrangements, and my dad had said some real ugly things about my mom that he was going to do when she passed. I didn't want to hear it. I didn't want to talk to him. But that night, a scripture came to my mind, and it was like the Lord wouldn't let me go to sleep. I don't know how. I was up till probably 3 or 4. But the Lord wanted me to go talk to my dad. I felt it in my spirit. I didn't really want to. But that scripture kept coming over and over in my mind. It's that one in Proverbs 18th chapter, 19th verse. It says, "A brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city. And their contentions are like the bars of a castle." I knew my dad had been offended and hurt because of the bitterness that he had. And I didn't tell my dad I was coming. It was a surprise attack. I walked from Princeton up here to the Gold Spot. It used to be Gold Spot Dairy, if some of you remember where that was at. To the Wooden Nickel. That's where my dad went for coffee. So I remember coming around the corner, and there was my dad's van, and my heart was boom. So I went in, we talked, and somehow the conversation got on my son, Kent. We talked to him a while, and then finally I said, "Well, your son has a few things he wants to say to you." He got real quiet, and so I told him some things about my mother that he never knew, never realized. And then I told him, I said, "You're my dad. I said, I want you to come to the funeral. Well, he got big tears welled up in his eyes. Kind of like I'm tearing up now. And he said, "You're putting a mountain in front of me." I said, "I know. But I want you to come. I'll save you a seat." Well, that part of my battle was over, but his started. I'm sure he had a raging conflict in his mind going on for the next 2 or 3 days on what he was going to do. And I didn't know what he was going to do. But you know, my dad came to the service. And actually, there was a stepdad at the service also. It was really strange. But my dad came to the service. And you know, when he did, he had, in making that choice, that decision, he had to swallow a lot of things that he had put out over the years. But I feel like my dad, and I appreciate the congregation praying for my dad. But I feel like, I don't believe he's a saved man by any means, but I believe the hardest part of his bitterness that he had has been broken. I've seen a softness since that time that he's had. So I just want to encourage us this morning to remember, you know, sometimes we have to humble ourselves in ways that It's not a pleasant thing. It doesn't feel good to the natural man. But the Scripture says when we do, God gives grace to the humble. It said He resists the proud. He resists the stiffness. But when we yield ourselves to Him and we say, Lord, whatever You want, whatever cost, whatever You design, whatever Your will is. Jesus had to do that. He had to pray several times to do that. But that's where God pours in the grace into our hearts and our lives when we're willing to work with Him. You know, we can run from our battles. We can ignore our battles. Maybe pretend like they're not there. They're real. I don't think we'll ever get to any place in life where there's not going to be any more battles. As long as we're in this life, there's going to be battles. I believe the next life is going to be different. But while we're here, we're going to have to fight. And the Lord wants us to face. Sometimes our battles is us. Sometimes we're our own worst enemy. Sometimes us. It's easy always to say, just fire those missiles over there. It's all over there. But if we're honest, sometimes we recognize it's really right in here. But running from our battles, ignoring them, that never gets us anywhere. But if we come to God when we're tired of fighting within our own strength, Lord, what I've done hasn't been too successful. I need Your help. I need Your favor. You know, the Lord is able to send people into our lives. He's able to. I know we don't see Him with our physical eyes, but He causes things to happen. You know, there's been times I've been driving down the road in my mind, struggling in my mind, a battle going on in my mind, and I've seen a road sign that would give me, or a tag or a bumper sticker that would. God has a way of using. That's God. He uses things. He uses people. He uses circumstances to speak to us and to help us. So let's be encouraged this morning. Let's remember we do have an adversary. We've got someone that's trying to destroy anything good that we have and ultimately destroy us. But there's one that overcame. Jesus faced the darkest. He stood before Pilate alone. He knows what it's like to be tempted. And He knows what the battle's like. When He was in the garden, His blood, it said, was as great. His sweat was as great drops of blood. You think that was a battle? That was a battle. That was a real battle. But He overcame. And through that victory, you and I are able to overcome too. He's able to help us. If Christ would have been defeated, there would have been no hope. They buried him in the grave. They thought they were through with him. But he didn't stay there. He came forth to conquer. And sometimes the devil's got us in a place that feels like he's got us put away. But there's power of life when we trust in him and believe in him and look to him. I appreciate your attention. Pray for me.